This is Food News and Chews for Azura Restaurant and Patio, and I'm about to make you very hungry. To make one of Azura's signature dishes, we take fresh cold water lobster and mix it with lots of squeezed lemon juice, triple cream cheese, and a pile of fresh sliced scallions. We cook this mixture delicately in a light, fluffy crepe shell until slightly golden brown on the outside, but still soft, delicate, and warm on the inside. We finish the dish with a sweet and tangy tropical guava sauce made from the ripest South American fruit. Guava has hints of apple, strawberry, and pear flavors. Imagine tasting that combination. I apologize if I made you hungry, but you have to try this award-winning dish. Stop by Azura Restaurant and Patio in the Beaumont Center, and I'll make it up to you with some of the freshest flavors you've ever experienced. While we definitely have worldly inspired cuisine, I guarantee you there's nothing like the local flavors of Kentucky-raised products, which are the guiding light of Azura's menu. Azura Restaurant and Patio is located at 3070 Lakecrest Circle in Beaumont Center off of Harrodsburg Road. Check out www.azurarestaurant.com for special events like our Saturday Bluegrass Farmers Market or our Sunday Suppers. Open 6 days a week for lunch and every day for dinner.
When you're transferring to a new college, some of your old credits make the cut, and some don't. Get the credits you deserve with Sullivan University's free credit transfer review. The Sullivan team works with you to avoid unpleasant surprises and to help you make the most of credits from other schools. It's just one more reason to choose Sullivan University. See them all at sullivan.edu.
Interested in what to drink in the Bluegrass? Edible Magazine has all the information you need to make an informed cocktail decision. The April-May issue in stores the first week of April talks beverages. Steve Coombs has an in-depth article on the bourbon industry, cocktail culture, old guard and new guard distillers, and bourbon is changing the worldview of Kentucky. Jeremy?
Breweries are exploding in Kentucky. West 6th Street Brewery and Farm are featured along with other places to grab a brew in Lexington and Louisville. And for the non-alcoholic drinkers among us, a surprising number of coffee roasters are on the scene. Get the scoop on where to have your next cup of joe. All this and more in the April-May issue of Edible. Contact Norma Taylor at 859-619-2774 for more information. Why cans? Because we can't serve it from the barrel. Introducing Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale in a can. Pairing perfectly with your fall tailgate, this is a new look for an old favorite. The same great flavor of Kentucky bourbon is imparted on this Irish red ale by aging it in freshly decanted bourbon barrels for at least 6 weeks. Rediscover the beer of bourbon country and pack up a six-pack of Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale cans today. Just look for the hand-sized barrels at your local package store. Visit KentuckyAle.com for more details.
Food News and Chews here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
And we're back. It's Food News and Chews Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it. Thanks again to our friend David O'Neill. We were just talking off the air about self-driving cars and how we're very excited about that.
47% of American jobs will be obsolete due to automation in probably about 50 years.
How many percent of jobs?
47%. What are you going to do with all those
47?
People?
47. Oh.
How are you going to employ those people? They have to have incomes and stuff.
Well, there are certain things like not to
scare
Jeremy.
Well, can't you like buy your own robot and then like it goes out and makes the money for
Jeremy,
you?
Jeremy, even in the restaurant business, there's like robot restaurants.
Robot restaurants.
Totally robot restaurants.
Well, you know, you brought up a really good point because they were talking about this, how at some point there's not going to be enough jobs just because robots are going to do them all. So one of the theories was people would be assigned a robot,
yeah,
and that robot would do a job and you would get the paycheck, because otherwise no one's going to have a job.
Nobody's going to have a job.
No one's going to have a job. So that's actually an idea people have brought up.
My robot ate my homework. That's the excuse. Yeah. Okay.
But there are robo chefs.
Hey, there could be some fun out of this, though, because they, you know, like truck driving, they're going to have the big rigs, driverless big rigs, on the interstates at first. And they said, still, though, you'll need people at computer screens, and they won't have to travel. So it's not like the old truck driving jobs where you have to be gone, you know, 3 or 4 weeks at a time. You can drive that truck from your computer.
Like virtually drive a truck?
Virtually drive a truck.
That doesn't seem safe.
No.
I don't know why that doesn't seem safe.
Well, it is kind of scary, isn't it? Although you said you're totally into it.
I'm all about not having to drive anywhere. I'll get in the car.
Are you into semi-tractor trailers?
I guess if everybody, if all the other cars on the road didn't have people, like, you know.
That's true.
In them.
I don't
maybe,
think our...
I wish tractor trailers had their own highway anyway.
Well, there is a movement to do that.
Yeah.
And have all
their own lane
highways
or something.
For them.
I don't know.
I think our kids will never learn to drive. I'm convinced our kids won't learn to drive. I don't think they ever will.
But, you know, you think about restaurants and stuff. A lot of this stuff, there's still going to have to be that human emotion element where people reach out to other people and the experience of enjoying company.
I would hate to be served by a robot. I have my food cooked by a robot, served by a robot, and eat in a quiet robot environment. That doesn't sound...
Doesn't
like,
sound
you
good,
want the human
it?
Contact
you want
of...
experiential stuff.
Yeah, you want a waiter who's charming, you know, a server who has, you know, who makes you... There's a lot of times where I wouldn't even order something unless the waiter recommended it. And said, okay, you know, I wasn't going to come here and get that,
what about
but
this dessert?
You made me want it.
Today.
That's a part of the job.
You know, it's going to be interesting.
Quick question. As a restaurateur, is sales part of the job for a waiter? Or for
totally.
A server?
I mean, I don't really see how that's very replaceable, the human contact aspect. With dining as we know it now, I mean, it could be reinvented, but the amount of moving parts and factors in a restaurant, the amount of quick off-the-cuff decisions and modifications you have to make are...
Probably fast food maybe could become more automated than it is today.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's much more homogenized, but a nice high-end restaurant where people enjoy the different flavors and all of that kind of thing, I don't know... truly how that can be replaced. But, you know, we have so many now experiential needs. It's just like this crazy thing off the subject of food, but United Airlines.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Dragging well, someone in. And the optics on that when, you know, and then we're so slow and the PR business is so slow to catch up with it, you know. And so he stands up and says, well, it's a policy. Like, those people cared.
They made, according to most people, I saw it read, someone wrote it as PR genocide.
Yeah.
Because they made, they compounded a mistake with arrogance. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing, like, no matter how you feel about the situation, they just didn't handle it right. And it's all
And it's going to happen as you know, down the chain, a passenger making a film is going to happen to people, and you got to handle it.
Crisis management.
That's probably the most important thing to do.
Crisis management is so important now in this day and age.
Thank you for that plug. That's what I do.
Right. In this day and age, it's so important because
communication.
Every cell phone is an opportunity to call it, put you into a crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in restaurants, as you know, Jeremy, are the real victims on this. Like the poor little pizzeria in Washington, D.C., where the fellow from North Carolina, they're still suffering from...
That was Pizzagate. That story
Pizzagate,
was. Yeah. It started off as an online conspiracy that there was a child trafficking going on in a pizza place in D.C., and it turned out to be a false story, but one guy went in there with a gun to... And, it turned out to be it was just fake news.
There's a great saying: it takes one fool to throw a pebble in the pond and 1,000 geniuses to stop the ripples. And they still haven't stopped the ripples with that pizzeria.
Right.
I mean, he's almost out of business as a result of this.
We talk about with Yelp and things like that, reviewing restaurants. You know, everybody is a critic. Everybody is a reviewer. Everyone's opinion matters now. And if you have a bad experience,
you got to deal with it.
Everyone has the power on Facebook or Yelp to let everyone in their circle know all about it.
And we're just catching up with it. But, you know, restaurant change is going on. And, Twitch, you had a story on tipping.
Yeah, there was a guy wrote a piece on tipping. And, in a weird logical way, I guess it makes sense, but it doesn't. And his theory was, if I order a $10 hamburger or an $80 plate of sushi, the server is working the same amount. Why do I tip more on the $80 worth of sushi versus the $10 hamburger? And on the surface, logically, I guess
that's interesting.
It's a question I never thought. Like, why should this plate be worth a $20 tip and this plate is worth a $2 tip?
And it's the same amount of work.
Everything else. Right. And I guess, and what he's saying is we should move to a flat rate, a tipping flat rate.
Well, that's interesting. And then, Jeremy, you got this whole phenomenon of tipping being eliminated. It already is in Europe, but here in the States, there are a few restaurants that are getting into that, too. So that's another offset.
So you got a huge separation of classes when it comes to restaurants. You got back-of-house workers, dishwashers. Yeah. They're not paid nearly as high as, say...
Would there be more of
them? The front of the house. So what they're doing in other countries, and some of the big, big restaurateur leaders now are doing, is just giving everybody a living wage by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the service charge is split across the entire restaurant. So your service charge tipping is tipping everybody, which gives everybody an incentive to do a great job for the table.
But a lot of Americans, they say, can't get used to it. But Twitch, back to what you were talking about. I mean, is there any difference? I mean, you think about it. Is the restaurant, because the food is higher end and it's more
You expect
exotic,
better service. Like, I expect better service at Azor than I do at Applebee's.
One,
I expect, you know what I mean?
That's one quality.
That's one thing.
And it may be that it costs more to get that sushi in.
Maybe.
But then I guess the restaurant's charging for it.
But the server has, it's no different than the server.
How is it really different than the cook in the back?
Right. No, you're right. Because the cook at the sushi restaurant and the cook at the burger restaurant is working him out.
From those chain restaurants is just coming out of a microwave, basically.
I guess one of the reasons is you have a higher professional class of waiters who work in the restaurants that serve sushi. I'm trying to make this
Or think about a high-end
snobbish.
Steakhouse or any place where you're paying a
These
premium.
These people are really professionals.
Right.
Whereas, you know, a teenager working in a fast food restaurant is really, or maybe, that's not a great
analogy. To a good server, it's a trade. It's not a
it
job.
It is a trade. It's a profession.
Like, okay, like we were talking about this. We talk about this
Doug
a lot.
In our restaurant.
With all the restaurants opening up in Lexington, there is going to be a deficiency of really good wait staff and really good front of house people. So you really do have to pay a premium. And I know you probably have a hard time finding quality servers, right?
Well, yeah, and then training is tough. I mean, there's so,
which is
like,
harder
so there's so
to
many
do.
Variables that happen in a restaurant. And how do you train somebody to handle all of them? You don't. Either get it or you don't get it. Like some people just are not cut out for it.
Yeah.
But it's
so
hard.
Maybe
to
they deserve more for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that extra training and that extra edge to become a professional. Because the other phenomenon in American jobs is, of course, that we're having now people in their 40s who are actually serving in restaurants.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you saw that in New York City forever. I mean, you know, you go to the Plaza and the guy's 85 years old and he's still serving. And here you're starting to see it happen where people are staying in that profession. And
but when you pay, like when you go to a place like the Plaza or wherever, you expect a certain level of service.
Exactly.
And that's part of the price. You know, you don't want to get the same service at the Plaza you do at Applebee's. You'd feel, not that there's anything wrong
so
with Applebee's.
Does your server deserve more?
Well, the higher price is definitely driving the server to work there. I mean,
and
that's
what about
why
the cooks?
Wanna
do they have to be better
yes.
at preparing the stuff? Like sushi?
All the way around. I mean, if this guy wants to pay the same price, you know, a service fee, then he's going to get the same service everywhere. I mean, it's, you get what you pay for.
And it's going to be less than what he get. It's going to be less.
It's an invalid argument. I wouldn't even entertain talking
But it's
to
one
guy.
Of those weird things that on the surface, you first time you read it, you go, oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
But then when you think about
start
it.
Start analyzing.
Yeah, it's
I mean, if
flaw
you go
in,
yeah, I mean, some restaurants serve on paper plates and, or, you know, if you don't think about, if they order a cup of coffee at a restaurant that, okay, the server brewed the coffee, took out a porcelain cup, a saucer, mm-hmm. a teaspoon, brought it to the table with a lemon wedge, and then after all that, it basically takes a half a rack of dishes to clean up after one cup of coffee, you know, 50 cents on a dishwasher load cycle, and all the effort to take it back and forth, whereas, you know, paper cup, you throw it in the trash.
Hmm.
And that's something you got to think about. That goes into your experiential. And we talk about restaurants, they're experiential.
Yeah.
You can eat anywhere. You're going for the experience.
You are, yeah. There's a lot of good food out there.
Yeah.
But you're going because you remember something about that experience.
Right.
That, if I just want to eat, I go to a you know, fast food and just feed myself.
Or go get some Velveeta cubes. Stay at home and eat leftover pizza.
David brought that up. There is now
Velveeta bites. Is that what he calls
them? Yeah, they're like mozzarella sticks, but they're made of Velveeta.
Oh, that
sounds
so good.
They sell them in the frozen
the
food aisle.
You know, there's a news story, too. To feel really American, try some Velveeta. That's a headline on a story. And when immigrants come over, that's what they do is they start eating the food that they're assimilating, right?
So if you're an immigrant, let me just tell you that Velveeta does not represent us. Okay? If you're new to this country, this great country of ours, don't judge us by Velveeta,
you're not
please.
American.
Please don't judge us by Velveeta.
Sorry, it still makes the best mac and cheese. Even the chef, I'm just going to tell you. It's just
I know.
Anything shelf-stable like that.
Maybe
got
maybe
magic in it.
Hating Velveeta is un-American, but I have to stand by it. I can't. It's not.
Deep down you love it. You can't say it on air.
Yeah, you can't say
it.
Oh,
it's so melty and delicious.
But yeah, you hate everything about it.
I hate everything about it because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I love
it's
you.
Not. Is it cheese?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is that,
I know.
I wish I knew how to. I don't know what it is. It's just shelf stable stuff.
If you ever ate it, it's still government sticking
cheese,
to your insides.
Yeah. But nothing melts like it. Like American cheese. To me, the number one cheese is American cheese. Who knows what's in it? American cheese is not a thing.
Right.
Like, it's not an actual thing.
I wonder what they do to make it. Cause, you know,
I don't know.
Who's our cheese guy who comes in occasionally? You know, he makes real cheese.
See, I don't think it has anything to do with the normal cheese making process. I think this is.
Yeah, just
kind of
like congealed milk or something.
Here's the thing.
I don't think there's milk in it.
probably
in a lot of them. Here's the thing you can't replicate.
I don't look at the label.
Yeah. High end. Like, craft brewers will try to make a craft light beer, and it just doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah, it just doesn't work because, like, that's the point of light beer. It's not supposed to taste. Yeah. So good cheesemakers I've seen will try to do their take on an American cheese. It's fancy American. It doesn't work. Yeah. Because it's supposed to be
American cheese.
Nasty, you're right.
It's not even from the same planet.
Right, you can't do a high end version of a low end food.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work.
But it's awfully good.
It is. It's delicious.
Hey, speaking of craft beers,
yeah,
there's still stuff in the news about them, the craft beers now, the beer producers being bought up by the big companies, and there's a couple of big mergers that are happening. But I said there were a lot less craft beer producers starting up than in past years. Let's see. After 15%, years of 15% growth, the craft sector is down to single digits. Part of that is to be expected in the maturing part of any market, but it's a part of also a pushback by a handful of gargantuan global brewers, aided by this fella's opinion by slack government antitrust oversight. And what he's worried about, you can still get the little craft beers that the big guys bought up, but what you're snuffing out is the creativity because it's now corporate. And so you'll have what you have, but you're not going to have much new stuff. And there's this whole local movement to create community-based craft beer operations.
Well, the good thing about like a craft beer, like I'll use Country Boy as an example, they just experiment. You can go in there and they'll make, you know, half a very small barrel of something really weird and it works and you may never have it again. Mm-hmm. But if they were owned by a giant conglomerate, they would never have the freedom to make that stuff. Yeah. It would have to go through testing and go through
and,
this
and
that.
Know, so I think what people don't know about all this business, too, is like how important knowing how to get shelf life is. You know, you got to be able to be in a store in a visible place
where
you can't cut through the noise. And the big companies have all that cornered.
Well, it goes back to your restaurant, Azure. If one of the sous chefs has a great idea for a dish, he could probably make it and at least show it to you and let you taste it and see if it's really a good idea versus if it were a restaurant with a set chain menu, you wouldn't be able to. It didn't matter.
Right. It's interesting. And we talk food or craft beers in that situation. We at the restaurant now, we have a small, I'd say 8 to 10 craft beer selection. Mm-hmm. But the sales absolutely double the domestic sales, which is very interesting. I think just people in an independent local restaurant maybe want to try independent local beers.
Yeah, it's set in their heads.
And the better the food, the better the
beer. But I bet you right across the street at the other restaurant, it's the complete opposite.
Sure.
Wow.
Because it's a corporate chain.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So,
hey, Jeremy, I don't want any time to run out. Tell us, this is airing on Saturday today.
Yep.
What's happening for Easter?
It's tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow is a big day for both restaurants. Azure is completely booked for Easter. We are full, but we have a great brunch at Brasabana, which I encourage you to stop by or, you know, come for. It's, you know, we're open all day Sunday at Brasabana, so you can come anytime during the day. That'd be a late brunch or a comfortably really, really late lunch or even dinner. But Chef Amy's got a couple little cool specials for Easter available from 11 to 3. Then we go into normal dinner menu. But one thing I like is she's got a salmon croquette benedict, which I think is really cool. Because around here, like salmon croquettes, it's kind of a thing in the South.
Yeah.
Salmon fritters she's got, you know, kind of topped with smoked ham, poached eggs, and a chipotle hollandaise sauce, which I think
sounds awesome.
Fantastic.
That sounds awesome, actually.
Got a crab stuffed avocado salad with zesty cilantro aioli. And then, of course, we talked about Easter and lamb. She's doing grilled lamb chops with saffron, mashed potatoes, and asparagus. I think it sounds great. And a little guava and mint jelly, because lamb and mint, that's a traditional thing, too.
Yeah,
but guava, It's a really unusual pairing, you know, kind of the South American Caribbean flair.
Yeah. So. And check it out at brasabana.com. That's the website. You want to probably make reservations if you're going for brunch.
Please let us know you're coming. It really does help.
All right. Everybody have a great Easter. We'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to David O'Neill. We appreciate it. And we'll see you next week here on Food News and Chews Radio. Thanks for listening.
Food News and Chews here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
This is Food News and Chews for Azura Restaurant and Patio, and I'm about to make you very hungry. To make one of Azura's signature dishes, we take fresh cold water lobster and mix it with lots of squeezed lemon juice, triple cream cheese, and a pile of fresh sliced scallions. We cook this mixture delicately in a light, fluffy crepe shell until slightly golden brown on the outside, but still soft, delicate, and warm on the inside. We finish the dish with a sweet and tangy tropical guava sauce made from the ripest South American fruit. Guava has hints of apple, strawberry, and pear flavors. Imagine tasting that combination. I apologize if I made you hungry, but you have to try this award-winning dish. Stop by Azura Restaurant and Patio in the Beaumont Center, and I'll make it up to you with some of the freshest flavors you've ever experienced. While we definitely have worldly inspired cuisine, I guarantee you there's nothing like the local flavors of Kentucky-raised products, which are the guiding light of Azura's menu. Azura Restaurant and Patio is located at 3070 Lakecrest Circle in Beaumont Center off of Harrodsburg Road. Check out www.azurarestaurant.com for special events like our Saturday Bluegrass Farmers Market or our Sunday Suppers. Open 6 days a week for lunch and every day for dinner.
Interested in what to drink in the bluegrass? Edible Magazine has all the information you need to make an informed cocktail decision. The April-May issue in stores the first week of April talks beverages. Steve Coombs has an in-depth article on the bourbon industry, cocktail culture, old guard and new guard distillers, and bourbon is changing the worldview of Kentucky. Jeremy?
Breweries are exploding in Kentucky. West 6th Street Brewery and Farm are featured along with other places to grab a brew in Lexington and Louisville. And for the non-alcoholic drinkers among us, a surprising number of coffee roasters are on the scene. Get the scoop on where to have your next cup of joe. All this and more in the April-May issue of Edible. Contact Norma Taylor at 859-619-2774 for more information.
When you're transferring to a new college, some of your old credits make the cut, and some don't. Get the credits you deserve with Sullivan University's free credit transfer review. The Sullivan team works with you to avoid unpleasant surprises and to help you make the most of credits from other schools. It's just one more reason to choose Sullivan University. See them all at sullivan.edu.
Why cans? Because we can't serve it from the barrel. Introducing Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale in a can. Pairing perfectly with your fall tailgate, this is a new look for an old favorite. The same great flavor of Kentucky bourbon is imparted on this Irish red ale by aging it in freshly decanted bourbon barrels for at least 6 weeks. Rediscover the beer of bourbon country and pack up a six-pack of Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale cans today. Just look for the hand-sized barrels at your local package store. Visit KentuckyAle.com for more details.
Food News and Chews here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
This is Food News and Chews for Azura Restaurant and Patio, and I'm about to make you very hungry. To make one of Azura's signature dishes, we take fresh cold water lobster and mix it with lots of squeezed lemon juice, triple cream cheese, and a pile of fresh sliced scallions. We cook this mixture delicately in a light, fluffy crepe shell until slightly golden brown on the outside, but still soft, delicate, and warm on the inside. We finish the dish with a sweet and tangy tropical guava sauce made from the ripest South American fruit. Guava has hints of apple, strawberry, and pear flavors. Imagine tasting that combination. I apologize if I made you hungry. hungry, but you have to try this award-winning dish. Stop by Azor Restaurant and Patio in the Beaumont Center, and I'll make it up to you with some of the freshest flavors you've ever experienced. While we definitely have worldly inspired cuisine, I guarantee you there's nothing like the local flavors of Kentucky-raised products, which are the guiding light of Azor's menu. Azor Restaurant and Patio is located at 3070 Lakecrest Circle in Beaumont Center off of Harrodsburg Road. Check out www.azorrestaurant.com for special events like our Saturday Bluegrass Farmers Market or our Sunday Suppers. Open 6 days a week for lunch and every day for dinner.